Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to the program. I'm going to speak today on the theme of service. And as I usually do, I will start with an article by Benjamin Krem's master. And this one has the title, The Call to Service. When the call to service sounds, it behoves each earnest disciple to grasp the opportunity presented with both hands. Seldom is the call repeated, for the masters have little time to waste. The quote, "Many are called, but few are chosen," should read, "Many are called, but few respond." Thus it is in the great service. Only the elect realize the blessing conferred by the opportunity to serve the plan. Service is the sacred duty which allows the disciple to shorten by many lives his sojourn on this earth. Many know this, but balk at the lightest task. Many forget the pledge they made long ago and shrug off the inner unease. Not for nothing do the masters sadly shake their heads and search once more among the waiting lights. Not all who serve realize they do so. So instinctive is their response to the soul's or master's call that they plunge in boldly without a second thought. So decentralized are they that the world's need is their only concern. They serve as they breathe, but in relation to the needs of the time, they are few indeed. We on the inner side look for those who know somewhat the plan and whose priorities are sound. We search for those whose ardour is strong and whose hearts are aflame with love and sacrifice. We welcome such brave ones into our midst and gladly present a field of service. Then we stand aside and watch. Over and again, their first glad steps slow and falter. Too often, their bright expectations turn to boredom and doubt. Their lofty aspiration shrivels and dies. The failure of faith looms large in these sad happenings. Without faith, nothing lasting may be done, and for lack of this one quality, many promising disciples have failed. Not for nothing, down the ages, have the teachings emphasized the need for faith, seeing it as the very heart of service. Faith, to be sure, does not mean blind acceptance and belief. On the contrary, true faith arises only when the intuition, the voice of the soul, prompts an inner knowing and, past all gainsaying, the heart tells you this is true. When that moment comes, clasp firmly to you this newfound truth and stay there. When the voices of envy and doubt assail you, keep serenely to your task. Remember that your mind belongs to you, and no one has the right to tell you what to think. Cultivate a wise rhythm which will allow your service to expand naturally. Eschew a service done in fits and starts, for in this way is all momentum lost. Remember that you are here to serve the plan. That, if you did but know it, is your soul's wish. As you make contact with the soul, the objectivization of experience begins to take place. The soul has no preference, no desire. It relates only to that which is consonant with its purpose, which is to serve the plan of evolution to the greatest degree possible. The time will come when the influence of the masters will provide a field of study and experience by which those now standing on the threshold will enter into the realm of light and knowledge and know themselves for what they are. There are many awaiting the creation of a new age whose manifestation will profoundly affect the structures of their time. Serve and grow should be the keynote of your lives. I'm going to now read some quotes from quite a long piece on the subject of the call to service. And if you wanted to read the full chapter, you can find it in the book Maitreya's Mission Volume 2. And as mentioned previously, information about the books by Benjamin Krem can be found on the Share International website. So this is very often the case when I'm doing these programs, really just a taster on the subject, and I hope it makes you curious enough to want to find out more. So anyway, without further ado, here's some quotes. Service is a blessing given to you. It is not something you even have to look for. Many people have said to me something like the following: with all my varied talents, I really should be doing something of real importance in the world, real service, and I have very distinctly the impression, the intuition, that I have a real mission to perform in the world. But what is it? What is it I have to do? I really want to serve, but I've never been able to find it. I believe this shows a completely wrong approach to service. The idea that there is a mission waiting for this person suddenly to intuit and become aware of. Of course, it never will dawn on him or her. Such a person has the glamour of service. There is no service without action. Service is not talking about service. It is not wanting to serve. It is actually serving. The act of service is action, even if it is sitting at a desk or sitting in a chair taking part in transmission meditation. You do not seem to be acting, but in fact, that is action. Imagine someone looking at this vision of his or her great mission in the world. The glamour, of course, is in the fact that it has to be great and that it has to be a mission. The world is there to be served. The soul needs to serve, desires to serve. It is its very nature and being. But you do not have to have a great mission. You can serve from where you are. You can help the world in one way or another from where you are and from who you are. And, of course, depending on who you are, will be the nature of your service. You alone can perform your service. Each one is unique, and every act of unique service is valuable to the masters and the plan, because they have the task of presenting the plan to the world and presenting the mode of service to their disciples as the lever of this evolutionary journey. It provides the method by which we can be who we are. The masters look for those through whom they can work out the plan. When they look into the world, they see the disciples as lights. The light is the radiation from the chakras or energy centers in the body. There are bright lights and middling lights and not very bright lights. When they see the bright or middling to bright lights, they may stimulate these by giving some field of service to the individual. This is a test to see how they respond to world need, not the master's need. The master does not need anything. The world, not the master, needs the service of the individual. The master does not even need your devotion, but he does need your devoted service to the plan. That is all he calls for, because that is what the world itself needs. The master looks into the world and sees these shining lights, and where one maintains a steady glow, a steady radiance, he stimulates the person and sets a task. He may give a mental impression, and the person is set on the road of service. They may or may not serve, and if they do not, the master sadly shakes his head and looks again into the world to pick another shining light, hoping that it will be more steady, more steadfast, and of real use. There are many in the world who serve and never think of it as service. We can all think of people like that. They do not know they are disciples. They never think about being one. Do you think Mother Teresa thought about being a disciple? The word would have probably made her smile. She would have probably said, "A disciple of whom, Jesus?" "All right, I am a disciple of Jesus." She might say that because she was a Christian, but a disciple in the esoteric meaning of the word, living the life of disciplined service, no. She would have said, "I am just helping people who are dying, who are starving, who are ill. I just help them because they need it." People like that serve instinctively, straight from the heart. It is no burden to them. So instinctive is it. It is not a burden. If service is a burden, then of course it is not service. It means the heart is not involved. Service is the result of the outflow of the energy of love from the heart. It proceeds from the heart, informed by the intelligent mind. It is intelligent action motivated by love. Unless it is that, you cannot call it service at all. And I'm going to read now a couple of questions and answers. And the first here is, how do the current structures of society inhibit the impulse to serve? I do not think they do at all. The impulse to serve can find expression within the most unbeneficial structures. In fact, the impulse to serve is needed all the more where the structures themselves are unspiritual. The current structures are deeply unspiritual, and this only makes the need to serve more pressing. Even in this coming age of Aquarius, when things will change tremendously, when harmony and peace will generally prevail in the major sense throughout the world, service will be needed. Service is the mainspring of life. If service is the impulse of God involving itself in all that it creates, that which it creates needs to serve. It cannot be otherwise, because the impulse of being is service. There is no level throughout cosmos where service is not the purpose of life. The greater always serves the lower. The Christ washing the feet of the disciples is a symbol for that fact of service. The greater in spiritual stature serves the lesser because it can serve the lesser. I do not think, therefore, that the current structures inhibit the impulse. They might inhibit a good working out of that service. There is another point. How far should we look for results in our service activity? How should we measure the value of our service in relation to the results which it has? And I would say, not at all. Service is not true service if it is done with an end result in mind. That is motivated choice. In this whole question of service, motive is crucial. And the next question, how will the structures in the New Age be different in this regard? It may be that the structures in the New Age will allow more people to serve and that they will enhance the ability of people to act as souls. What inhibits millions from living and acting as souls is that they are so taken up in the drudgery of finding the wherewithal to live, something to put in their family's mouths, that they have not the time or energy to turn their minds to the soul or its needs. It does not exist for them. What does exist is grinding poverty, the necessity to work constantly, to beat the body, to create or earn that little bit of sustenance which will keep their family alive. And that prevents them from engaging in a life of service. Their service is dedicated to their bodies, like animals, to feed them, and to their family, to feed it and keep it together. As these realities are changed, service too will change. Service will be oriented more and more to the activity of the soul. Not in saving millions of people from starving who should not be starving at all. Nobody needs to starve. We know that. The food is there. But once the food is available, the service changes. It is the same service, but it changes to meet different priorities. So the number one priority is the feeding of the starving millions. Number two priority, saving the planet from destruction. The focus of the service will change, but service itself as a soul activity cannot change. It is always the same. So again, that was all from my transmission, Volume 2. And I'm going to read now an excerpt from another article from The Master, and this is from one called A Major Opportunity. Everyone can do something to ease the pain of his brothers. Take stock of where you stand and see what you should do. Pledge now your support for every act of sacrifice and contribute your share thereto. Make this time a time of giving. Let your will to serve have full expression. Know that as you serve, you work towards the light and align more correctly with the purpose of your soul. Take your stand with us and allow the dreams of men to come true. Take your stand with us and be assured of our stimulus and help. Take your stand at our side and perform deeds you thought impossible to achieve. When you see Maitreya, you will know that the moment of decision for the world has come. He will call for action from all who would save the world. Join the ranks of those who act and serve and enter the mainstream of the great current of life. The time has come, as never before, to act in accordance with your professed ideals and to make manifest the vision enshrined in your heart. Know that you are not alone, that millions embrace these same ideals. Join hands with all who seek to serve and spin a web of light around the world. Remember that you are in the world to serve and that only through service can you grow. Remember that you are your brother's keeper and accept responsibility for your brother's needs. Present yourselves as never before as channels through whom we may work, as transformers of the mighty potencies which will flow shortly to you. In this way, can you set the seal of service on this life and in due course join the ranks of those who have gone before you? And I'll finish with a short excerpt from one of Maitreya's messages. This is from number 98. When you see me, you will know the time has come to serve, to lift yourselves and your brothers through service to the world. This way, my way, will take you quickly to God. My masters too know this path, and under the instruction shall you realize your Godhead. Well, thank you very much for listening. For more information, check out the website share-international.org, or you can email us sharenz@yahoo.com. Wishing you all a lovely week.